Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Beautiful sunshine, getting a 10.
It's sunshiny here. We're in the mid-20s this week in Leeds. It's feeling lovely.
I've got to tell you, one of my favourite stories about Leeds is that when I took over in 2005, I arrived in July. No, I came in July in the close season to do some work. And the weather was awful. And I said to Paula, who was in the receptionist, I said, Paula, for God's sake, when do you get summer in Yorkshire? Well, she said, Chairman, you missed it. It was last Thursday afternoon. And they really set the scene for a bit of badinage. And I thought it sort of summed up the attitude to the weather in Yorkshire.
Quite right. We are enjoying it, I must admit.
It's going to in Lancashire, you say, the babies were born with raincoats and Wellington boots.
Well, we're hoping that the sun keeps for a few days, and it should make for a nice day at Elland Road. Barnsley are the visitors this weekend at Elland Road. Of course, Paul Heckenbottom's previous team, and I would imagine they would love nothing but to get one over on Paul Heckenbottom and Leeds United this weekend.
Well, it's for bragging rights, isn't it? So, bit of needle in the game. Positive, of course, but we want to see it really competitive and go for it. And this year's championship is not very happy saying it for about some clubs, but in fact, anybody can beat anybody at the moment, which is good for the fans and good for the table. I mean, I can remember when Preston were in the top six and looking about gaining automatic promotion. Now, where are they? Well, same place as Leeds, I suppose. Well, good for the game. Makes it exciting.
Yeah,
far more fun than the Premiership.
Well, it is, yeah. It's certainly more of a competitive league. I mean, Manchester City have won the Premier League at a bit of a canter with five games to spare, but they've been playing some fantastic football, but no one seems to be able to touch them at the moment.
It's more fun actually watching the relegation battle.
Yes. Yeah, you know, it certainly is. There's also been some more stuff about Mick McCarthy this week. We touched on it last week, KB, with Mick McCarthy leaving his job at Ipswich. And now Paddy Power, one of the big bookmakers, have suspended betting on him becoming the next Leeds boss. And that must mean that someone's put a lot of money on Mick McCarthy to take the job at Elland Road.
Well, let's hope he's not the owner.
Yeah, I think that's frowned upon in the world of football.
I think I do think that the owner should come out and make a statement and get that situation resolved. Rather, it's only fair on the fans, apart from the manager.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't allow speculation to take place. You either back your manager or you get rid of him. Don't leave him in limbo.
Other things in football this week, that just something that caught our eyes this week. Everton have sent out like a survey to their fans, and they've asked the fans to rate Sam Allardyce on a scale of 0 to 10. That's just asking for abuse, don't you think? I'm not sure if it's something that you've ever considered doing, that asking the fans to rate a manager when you've been in charge of a club.
Well, I think they made a serious mistake on that. I can understand the fans' questionnaires about the various aspects of the club, but the playing staff, you don't ask them. You're undermining the manager, which could have knock-on effects in the dressing room. As I remember, when Allardyce took over Everton, they were they momentarily in the bottom three. I think they were. And now they've made a recovery. No, I don't think that's definitely not the way they want a football club. John Hall. Sorry, Freddie Shepherd said in Newcastle 3 years ago. Supporters support. Managers manage. And directors direct. You should never muddle up those positions or functions. It was quite right.
Just something that's come up a little bit earlier this morning, KB. We've talked about video referees and that they're going to be using them in the World Cup in the summer, of course. And one of the problems, I think, that they when they've tried VAR in the Premier League and they've tested it out, is that the crowd in the stadium don't really know what the hell's going on. And it just sort of seems a bit weird. But in the World Cup, it's just been announced this morning that they are going to be showing the replays on big screens in the stadiums during the World Cup in Russia, which is probably a better way of doing it, don't you think?
I think the better way of doing it is abolishing them and sticking to the old right. The referee decision is final. Full stop. The referees make mistakes, of course they do. And so does everybody. Well, except me, of course. But, you know, that's the end of it. You win some, you lose some. But at the end of the season, league tables don't lie. All this bellyache and pontificating. And it undermines the referee's authority. It also, to a certain extent, undermines the linesman's authority. And it's not right. It's not good. Soccer should be, or until they introduce the ping-pong game. You know. But no, football is gung-ho, get on with it. Zoom, zoom, zoom. I say at the end of the season, the referee makes mistakes. But at the end of the season, they even themselves out. The offside goals you got, you forget that. The penalties you got that you shouldn't have got, he evens out the penalties you should have got and you didn't get. C'est la vie. It's football. Get on with it.
Yeah, quite right. Times.
Next ever will be every supporter will go in the roof, into the ground with a button. And then when there's a questionable decision, they'll all be invited to a vote. How much do these bloody great screens cost?
Well, yeah.
So how much would each club have to pay? This only going to be in the Premiership or the Championship? Or we're going down to Leagues 1 and 2? Food for thought.
Certainly is, KB. And as we talk most weeks about Brexit, it's still continuing. The talks actually seem to be moving on because this week they're starting, actually, a bit of a milestone. For the first time, they're going to actually discuss the UK's future relationship with the European Union, which seems a little bit late on, considering it's actually going to be happening next year.
No, the whole thing, I've been thinking something also. They're banging on reading this stuff. Important about the Irish situation. Well, if there's an Irish problem about the border, I think it's about time the Irish government were a bit more proactive. They, backed by EU, are taking this aggressive attitude, much favoured by Tusk, Juncker and Garnier, about what are you going to do about this, what are we going to do about that. Terrible consequence. Well, hang on. Let's just think it through. If there is a problem about the Irish border, which clearly there is and hasn't been resolved, then the Irish government should be coming forward and sitting down and discussing with solutions or proposals of their own. Because Ireland have much more to lose if they rub the UK up the wrong way and the other way around. Let's think about it. The majority of Irish exports come to Britain. Nearly the overwhelming majority of Irish exports to Europe go through Britain. And another threat being made by this is personal, being made by some idiot in the European air authorities or something points out that we would have to get permission, new details, for English airlines to fly into Europe. Well, who can play that game? Ryanair is the biggest European domestic carrier. All their flights have to fly through British airspace, with British permission. And all the European transatlantic flights have to overfly the UK. So instead of people making these threats and innuendos and hints of what could happen, well, two can play that game. They should be thinking about that. Now, I've been thinking about the Irish border for some time, and I've been disappointed at the Irish Taoiseach's attitude. Let me give you one solution. We don't have a border at all, agreed. Then we suspend all sailings from Southern Ireland, ever, to UK. Cork, Dunleary, no longer operate their ferries to Britain. We might extend that to Belfast, but if we don't, we might turn around and say, well, we'd only carry passengers. We won't carry goods. Because one of the problems, of course, is that if there's a war, first thing any intelligent man says, how can we get around it? So if there are tariffs, an awful lot of people importing into Europe might want to send their stuff via Ireland, then across to England and into Europe, with no customs check. Unless the Irish government have to impose those checks on the west coast of Ireland, where the importing ships dock. So it might be all the customs and immigration paperwork and all that nonsense has to be carried out at the expense of the Irish government on Irish soil. One side effect of that, of course, is that they'll stop all the influx of Irish gypsies, as I still call them. They're now dignified the name of travellers coming across to England and living off the British taxpayer. And the Irish can keep their gypsies and travellers and cope with them themselves. That'd be a bonus. Not true. Well, how can it affect the Irish? How it could affect the Irish tourist industry? I suspect the largest number of tourists come from the UK. So there's going to be give and take. There's going to be reason. Nobody will be totally satisfied. It's like all compromise, isn't it? Another alternative might be that Ulster join the Republic of Ireland but have a special status. Which they have it in countries in other parts of the world. But basically, part of Northern Ireland become totally devolved except for defence and overall finance. But first of all, they'll have to, the IRA or NASH is what they call themselves, these actually have to drop their silly demand that the Irish language, be taught in Ulster, Northern Irish schools. Don't see the point of it. Nobody talks Irish outside Ireland. In the 7 years I lived in Ireland, the Irish language was regarded as a devil error in making his point about in our own language. Now we're independent, that was over 100 years ago. We never really caught on. that I actually got to know the one-time appointed chairman of the Gaelic Language Society, which is a quasi-government quango to spend it, but nobody speaks it. So what's the point of it? Why force that bit of dogma unnecessary on an otherwise free country? We have the Welsh language. And nobody speaks that. And we spend a lot of money on a BBC Welsh channel. You know, there's got to be a solution here. But a solution's got to be one which everybody mucks in and gives and takes and helps and resolves. It can be done. But you can't please everybody. I know, I found that out of Leeds. But the Irish question, I call it a problem, the Irish question is a serious one. It can be resolved. It can be a give and take. Don't forget, the Ulster voted to remain in Europe. So the argument could be, okay, well, you become an independent little country, and you stay in Europe. Then that would solve the Irish border problem. Whether the Ulster nationalists and the Ulster Democrats would want that, I don't know. It's one solution. Be a laugh, wouldn't it? Mrs. Sturgeon wants independence of Scotland. We don't give it. We give it to Northern Ireland instead. Could be fun. But I think we're making progress in other directions because the European Parliament is now getting more involved and telling these unelected, self-appointed, self-perpetuated, overpaid, tax-free, bloated bureaucrats of Juncker and Schultz and Garnier to be more accountable. It's getting interesting too now because, of course, you have the German government being told by German manufacturers they don't like the attitude being taken by the European Commission. Hungary is also in rebellion against the bullying of Brussels. And the Czech Republic not too happy either, nor is Romania. So I think the EC has got a few internal problems to resolve, as well as the British, yes, the UK. And both Hitler and Napoleon found to their cost, you can't fight on two fronts at once. Have to come around the main front. Do that. Europe has to, the United Kingdom has to be talking to a united Europe. The moment it's not. Europe is in disarray.
Well, KB, as ever, always a pleasure. And we'll catch up around the same time next week.
Very kind.
Everything.